Since the spring, environmentalist and writer Paddy Woodworth has been helping us assemble a shelf of essential nature writing, from Rachel Carson to Robert McFarland. But so far we haven't added an observer of Ireland. That changes this time, as Paddy suggests we make space for a local on the Naturalist bookshelf.
The Basque magic realist, Bernardo Echaga, once questioned whether those of us over 50 should continue trying to reduce that pile of unread books that stretches into the future and taunts many of us like a bad conscience. Instead, we should select the 100 books that have nourished us most during our lives so far and reread them, both playfully and thoughtfully, for the rest of our days. There is surely something to be said for this approach. To enter a well-stocked bookshop as a bookish teenager is an early lesson in mortality. A scan of the shelves tells you that you'll be dead long before you could read everything that might engage you. So why not embrace that fact a bit later in life and sink ever deeper into the pleasures and perhaps even the wisdom that certain inexhaustible books can give us, and keep on giving? If I took Echaga's pledge, I know the two books at the top of my list because I already return to them so often. One is Peter Matheson's epic 900-page novel, Shadow Country. This is a riveting, archetypal tale of American capitalism's dark obsession with violence. It is set along the Wilderness Waterway in the western Everglades, atmospherically infused by Matheson's deep knowledge of the natural history of these teeming rivers of grass. I've read this book 3 times in 5 years. I'm still hungry for more. The other book on my list is set much closer to home and is much shorter, Michael Viney's A Year's Turning. This book distills many years observing nature in his sanctuary on the Mayo Coast into a single, delightful almanac. Viney always writes at the fertile ecotone between science and poetry. Readers of his inimitable column in Saturday's Irish Times know this well. And like that column, this book is given an extra dimension through his telling illustrations, as precise, spirited and lyrical as his prose. Animals are portrayed here as organic elements of the landscape in which their lives are enmeshed. And of course, that's exactly what they are. This book ranges very widely. There is a moving and funny account of his tentative efforts as a townie raised in England to mesh with his slightly baffled Mayo neighbours through the ritual of mehel, collective farm labour. His wry observations of their verbal pyrotechnics and his own floundering attempts to join in prompts a reflection on the etymology of crack, which, he concludes, wittily and correctly, is an Irish word that never was. His struggle to lead a self-sufficient rural life in an unforgiving landscape, alongside his capable and beloved wife Ethna, gets ample self-deprecating space. But the vertebrae of the book are formed from the vibrant seasonal parade of plants, animals and weather systems that flow in and out of Viney's keenly observant and appreciative view from month to month. For several years after reading the whole book, I did devote a little time each month to rereading the appropriate chapter for the time of year. And they always read freshly. Often they would bring my attention to some aspect of nature I had not previously noticed, and my next reading was often happily enriched by my encounters with a particular bird or flower or snail that he had mentioned in the meantime. For the month that's in it, he has a wonderful passage evoking September's colossal and coppery harvest moon and how it stirs great oscillations in the sea. And he then traces their emergence as a surging flood that sweeps inland from the strand, erasing the lines of otter runs and filling the rabbit holes and the hollows of summer larks. The flood reaches up the river and joins the lakes in a vast and alien congregation of silver water. Finally, the rising water finds swans at the furthest corner of the reeds and carries them further still, bearing them like emblems across the drowned pastures. The next day, he walks the cleaned and rejuvenated strand in something of an autumn ritual. Detailed observation of natural phenomena lead him back again and again to challenging interpretations of the natural world by scientists like Stephen Jay Gould, E.O. Wilson, and Richard Dawkins, and to the insistent existential questions these interpretations raise. "It did not occur to me," he writes, "when I chose to live closer to nature, that natural history and biology would come to be so much of the fabric of my thought, and that I would end up exploring my own existence along with the rest of creation." That Viney has done both for so long and so eloquently is a gift that very many Irish people and people beyond this country cherish every time they read him.
Paddy Woodworth there with the latest addition to the Naturalist's Bookshelf. If you'd like to hear about all the previous books, check out our playlist on Spotify.